ESPN Denver 1600 presents Clar and Company.
Okay, I sleep all night and I work all day.
It's the Lumberjack song.
He's okay.
Taylor's paying tribute to Taylor today. Taylor's dressed like a lumberjack because it got cold over the weekend, so he went full on winter clothing.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, look up Monty Python's Lumberjack song, which is playing on my monitor right now. But I'll try to keep a straight face.
Is that not the same shirt he's wearing? Is that picture of Michael Palin not the same shirt Taylor's wearing? You break the tie.
That's it. I'm dressed like the Mounties in the next shot. So today is, not today, but this week we had Pat Boland Day in the city of Denver. And Framed Art, sponsor of Broncos Blast, had the honor of framing for the Boland family for almost 29 years. Denver Mayor Hancock made the proclamation on the front steps of the city and county building. Framed Art with Brian Hart, 3065 South Broadway, from personal and sports memorabilia to museum quality fine art. Go to the award-winning and well-priced framer. I mean, you can afford this. This is where I go for all of Metro Denver. Framed Art, 3065 South Broadway.
Best time of year to be a sports fan. How about those baseball races? They're fantastic. League Championship Series getting started today. Football, obviously, running full blast. Catch all the action at Stoney's Bar and Grill, 11th and Lincoln, in the heart of downtown, and Stoney's Uptown at 1035 17th Street, just west of Park Avenue. A combined 88 big-screen TVs will show you every game. Stoney's Uptown, now the home for Nebraska Cornhusker fans every game. They play at 5:30 tonight. Pre-game, post-game, every game is on Stoney's Bar and Grill and Stoney's Uptown. Check them out.
And our Broncos correspondent is next for Broncos Blast. He is Ian St. Clair. Follow him at Ian St. Clair and at Mile High Report. Ian, you called for a fast start last week for the Denver Broncos, and you got one.
Let me point this out, though, Ian. The Broncos got their first win. You did not. You are still 0-for in your predictions.
So that proves that whatever I say is going to be the complete opposite
exactly
of what the Broncos do on Sundays.
Oh, yes, the prediction game. It's so much fun. So much fun.
Well, I guess Bronco fans everywhere are now tuning in hoping you're not picking the Broncos this week again. So, but, hey, you got the fast start. Third quarter, they ran into offensive problems. But they pulled it out, and Broncos look a whole lot better. So I guess the question is, what I'm hearing everywhere is hope is alive, that and people are putting out scenarios where the Broncos can have a decent season, maybe even go into playoff contention if they can somehow win this week.
And what I told Adam Alnati on our MHR Radio podcast is, let's not get too far ahead of the cart here. I mean, they did win a game. They did look good, but this is still a 1-4 team. And I know that they're not, when going into the Los Angeles Chargers game, we were all saying that they're not, and the Broncos were saying, they're not an 0-4 team, but they're still 1-4. So let's start to see some positive trends before we get too far ahead of the cart here. And what I mean by that is, start to build on what they did against the Chargers. Yes, they got their first win, but start building on that. Start becoming a more complete team. Start playing a complete game. When you see the things in the third quarter, especially offensively, that we've seen now the last 2 weeks, start to refine that. Start to put teams away. And I think my key to the game on Sunday is they've shown that they can get out to quick starts offensively. They can move down the field, and they started to put the ball in the end zone. Now when you get that opportunity to put a team away, put them away. And that's what I mean by starting to develop positive trends. Don't allow teams to stick around if you get the chance to put them away. And I think there are some positive things to see. I'm not taking anything away from the win against the Chargers, but start to develop and build on what you did against the Chargers before we start saying that the season can be saved and they can start making a playoff run with a win over the Titans.
That is most reasonable.
Yeah, that's very well put.
Very unreasonable for a Bronco fan, but most reasonable.
Very, very. Now, one positive trend I see, and I noticed this during the game while I'm watching the game. And then yesterday they give Andy Janovich a contract extension. He made a big difference in the running game. He really did. Arguably the run that clinched the game was Lindsey ran for 32 yards on a third down or second down in the drive that produced the last field goal in the fourth quarter. And the hole, Janovich just obliterated one of the defensive linemen and opened a hole for Lindsey. And I think that's what's been missing. Honestly, I think the run game's been okay, but now it's going to be much. It's going to take a step up with Jano as a lead blocker for Lindsey, because those two really, really play off each other well. And I think it's kind of like, you know, Lindsey wants to be the next Terrell Davis. He wears a number. Well, maybe Jano's the next Howard Griffith. Maybe he's that guy that can become that kind of weapon. Man, he made a big difference in the run game, and the Broncos obviously saw that. I don't think it's a coincidence that he got a 3-year contract yesterday.
And I think what that allows the Broncos offense to do is start to play into Joe Flacco's strengths. We have yet to see them test defenses with Flacco's arm, and he has the ability to do that. I remember when we were previewing the Ravens game last year, what Joe Flacco is able to do is chuck and pray. He, for whatever reason, he has success with those types of plays, and Rich Scangarello hasn't really utilized that up to the first five games of the season. And now that the running game is going, you're going to force defenses to either start loading the box or play man defense on the outside, which is a strength for Emmanuel Sanders, and now Courtland Sutton, who has really emerged as a guy who can step up and be a number one.
He's the guy.
If he can as long as he can continue to develop and build. So I think we've all said it throughout the course of the last 25 years of football. If the running game is going, that sets up the whole offense. And the offensive line is definitely built to be better in run blocking than it is in pass blocking. But I think the offensive line has gotten better over the last couple of weeks. So I think it's all just a matter of now just put it all together now. Start utilizing the aspects that we've all seen from the Shanahan offense, which is Scangarello's. Start to hum. Start to do those things that we saw in the late 90s when you had the running game going, you had Elway hitting Rod Smith and then McCaffrey or even Shannon Sharp deep. It's all based off the running game. So as long as that's going and you have Lindsey and Freeman barreling forward and averaging close to 4 or 5 yards a carry, you're going to put teams back on their heels, and that's what we need to see on Sunday against the Titans.
Well, Sutton is the guy. You say Chuck and Pray. Sutton's the guy, Michael, that you can throw it up, and he's going to go get it. He proved that against the Chargers.
Yeah, and he can stretch the field, absolutely. And Sanders, I think, will get back in the mix. I do. Let's look at the other side of the ball, because you guys have touched on the other key question here. If Bronco fans are going to have some hope, this team has to be getting better. On defense, moving Purcell inside, moving Shelby Harris, who is not a typical strong nose, but a guy who can help you on a defensive line with, pretty good mobility for an inside guy. Using him more creatively, using Purcell instead as your stone anchor there. And Alexander Johnson, who I loved his potential in college. He had a lot of tragedies befall him there in terms of destroying any college career he could have had. This guy is as fast sideline to sideline, a linebacker. He kind of reminds you of when Danny Trevathan was here.
I think what the two things that I saw was Mike Purcell, obviously, you mentioned Michael, and Alexander Johnson. I mean, holy cow, if he's able to continue to play like that, they have found one of the solutions for their middle linebacker problem that they've had since Al Wilson was here. And then you throw in Kareem Jackson, who I think was a huge difference maker, especially in the running game. He was all over the field against the Chargers, both in the passing game and in the running game especially. So I think you're starting to see the defensive guys figure out Vic Fangio's system. So now they're getting confident. They figured out where they need to be and what they have to do. They've gotten the technique. They've gotten the terminology down. Now they know what to do. And I think you're seeing that against the Chargers on Sunday. And if they're able to hold NFL offenses to 35 yards rushing, you're going to win football games, because that means that Von Miller and Malik Reed and some of these other guys are going to be able to get after the quarterback, which is what's going to allow the secondary to make plays and create turnovers. So there is a lot of reason to be excited about this defense. And holy cow, Alexander Johnson, if he continues to play like this, this is going to be, he can be a difference maker in this defense.
Always loved his potential. Hey, we got about a minute left. I want to make sure we do two things. We get your breakdown and prediction of what happens against the Titans with the Broncos. All of Bronco fandom is ready to go the other way on your pick. And also, we want to mention that it is a big day at Mile High Stadium, historic day with Champ Bailey and Pat Bowlen being honored locally for their Hall of Fame induction. Go right ahead.
And I think that's one of the reasons I'm picking the Broncos to win this game is because there's going to be so much emotion in the building, in the stadium. I've been in the stadium covering it as when people have been in, when players have been inducted into the Ring of Fame, and there's just a buzz in the stadium. And that's definitely going to be the case with Champ Bailey, who's one of the most popular players in Broncos history. And, of course, the Hall of Fame rings from Hall of Fame President David Baker, getting the rings to the Pat Bowlen family and to Champ Bailey. So I think that the team is going to be fired up. They're going to have a lot of emotion, and they're going to want to send Champ Bailey on a good note for his Ring of Fame induction. And I think they're going to build off of what they were able to do against the Chargers. And I think they're going to win 24-13.
24-13.
Well, I hope they have more than one ring for the Bowlen family, because I don't think they'll be able to decide who gets to keep the one ring if there's only one ring.
Well, they keep keep Mariota in the pocket, and then everyone will be happy, and there'll be only sunshine honoring Champ Bailey and Pat Bowlen inducted into the Hall of Fame. Ian, thank you. We'll recount wins and losses and read eagerly and listen eagerly to your podcast and everything that happens in Mile High Report. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Ian.
All right, Ram Roundup. Kelly Lyle, Rams win. Rams win last night's game at New Mexico. We go through it next.